ओम ज्ञान चिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाक चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So the essence of all that knowledge is given directly by Prabhupada in his books. And those who read his books or study his books, they become the greatest learned Vedic scholars. How can you become the greatest Vedic scholar? Simply by accepting that Krishna is the Supreme Person of the Godhead. That's all. One who knows that, he knows everything. Krishna says in Gita, who knows me in truth without doubting, he knows everything. What's that verse? Who can say? I'm not remembering it. Sasarvavid Vajatina Sarvavavina Vajatina. He knows everything in all respects. If you know Krishna, then you know everything. So this knowledge is being given in Prabhupada's books. Not that it's just simply some dogmatic formulas, but all philosophical understanding is being given within Prabhupada's books. Knowledge to defeat atheism, knowledge to defeat Mayavad, and knowledge to nourish our understanding of Krishna. And understanding of Krishna leads to love of Krishna. As Krishna repeatedly says in Gita, there are many verses in this regard. Aham sarvasya prabhava matasarva pravatati iti vadva bhajante ma buddhagam samit. When we know how great is Krishna, then naturally we want to worship Krishna. So the first stage of understanding is to understand how great is Krishna. Otherwise, without that, there will be misunderstanding. Certainly, if we hear the intimate pastimes of Krishna without first understanding how great is Krishna, then we'll misunderstand and we'll think that, what is this? He's dancing with other people's wives. And why are they making such a big fuss? He's just a coward boy. That's what Brahma thought. What's all the big fuss about this Krishna? He's just a coward boy. My father's Narayana. Not a coward boy. Come on, he's just running in the field. His mother's getting him up in the morning and dressing him, and he's going to the field. And my father's Narayana. And he's supposed to be Narayana. I don't believe it. So, Krishna showed him, I am Narayana. Brahma was offering all his prayers. And Krishna was standing there. Brahma couldn't understand, is Krishna satisfied or not satisfied? And the acharyas have revealed that Krishna was just thinking, who is this Brahma? I just want to play with my cowherd boyfriends. Why is he offering all these prayers to me? Brahma can't understand. He himself admitted that someone may think they understand Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, I don't understand Krishna. So first of all, we have to understand Krishna's greatness, his opulences, as described in Shastra, as revealed by the acharyas. The essence of all the acharyas' teachings have been given by Srila Prabhupada. Been given in his books, which he said are none different from him. The teachings of a self-realized person, they're none different from him. They are the essence of him. The essence of an acharya is not. You see, sometimes they collect information, what kind of clothes he wears and what kind of food he eats. That's not the essence of understanding. Yes, what does he teach? Vani and Vapu. What is the teaching? So that the teachings of the acharyas, they are recorded in the books. Prabhupada, you said, I'm not different from my books. Once a newspaper reporter asked Prabhupada, what will happen to this world when you die? Prabhupada said, I'll never die. I'll live forever in my books. We see that now also. Actually, Prabhupada's books are written in such a way that it's not even like reading Shastra in the sense that when we read Shastra, Shastra is not different from Krishna. But Prabhupada makes that link with Krishna through, he's preaching through his books. In the tone of his books, every word, see, it's just like in some musical composition, the percussion session is going on underneath the melody. It's always that you maybe not notice it, but it's always adding the bass without which the melody just doesn't sound proper. So the percussion or the constant pounding throughout Prabhupada's books is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are His servant. Surrender to Him. It's in every word, every line, even between the lips, like Krishna is within every atom and even between the atoms. So in every word and even between everywhere, even in the spaces in Prabhupada's books, that's the Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are His servant. Surrender to Him. It's the heart. Pushing us. And guiding us. We, in any book, you can feel the presence of the author. So in Prabhupada's books, you can feel he's there, telling you. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You're His servant. Surrender to Him. And giving us all guidance and information how to do that. All questions can be answered. Just even sometimes, devotees used to ask Prabhupada, they used to write the answer, questions, so many questions to Prabhupada. Sometimes Prabhupada would just write back and say, just read my books. All your questions will be answered. Now, even those questions, there may be certain questions. You may read through all of Prabhupada's books, and you don't find the specific answer to that question. So you may say, well, how is that? It doesn't seem to be. Huh? Should we do Tulsi Arti in the morning and evening, or only the morning? I looked through all the Prabhupada's books, so I couldn't find the answer. The Prabhupada says, you'll get all the answers by reading my book. So how is that? So Prabhupada also explained that. Everything will be revealed if you read these books. Yasya Deve Paraveda. Tathava, what is it? Yasya Deve Paraveda. Yata Deve Tathagaru. Tasyaite Katita Hyata. Prakashante Mahatma. To those who have firm faith in God, in Scripture, the Guru and Scripture, the Supreme Lord, then all the purports of the Scriptures are automatically revealed. So then someone may say, well, then you don't need a Guru. But then just read the books. So you have to have firm faith in Guru also. That means to follow his instructions. Guru means who gives instructions according to Shastra. Shastra means that which reveals Krishna and which is the guidebooks for all of us. So these three principles, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Sadhu means who lives according to the principles of Scripture. So that may be understood as those devotees who are strictly following Guru and Shastra may also be understood as the previous acharyas who have expounded on the Shastra. This is the same path. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, Vaka, Chite, Te, Korea, Aika, Anakari, Hamunayasha. Narottam Dasa said. These three. You follow these things, fix up their instructions in our heart, not deviate from them. So this Shastra, Prabhupada has given his books. He said that these books, they are the law books for mankind for the next 10,000 years. That means exactly how we should live our lives. What is the purpose of our lives? How to live them. You'll find everything is in these books. They're a great gift. We don't realize these books are not different from Krishna. Do you want to find Krishna? Prabhupada said, you won't find Krishna loitering in Loi Bazaar. You know, in Vrindavan, there's Loi Bazaar. Everyone goes shopping, and they said, Prabhupada said, you won't find it. You can go and loiter in Loi Bazaar, but you won't find Krishna there. You have to find Krishna by the method of devotional service, as outlined in these books of Srila Prabhupada. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the example is given that people, they have to eat grains to become strong. So in the same way, Prabhupada has given the example that You have to study these books, then you'll become strong in Krishna consciousness. If you don't study them, then you may chant Hare Krishna, but your understanding of why you're chanting will not be complete. The mind, we have the tendency to speculate, to judge everything in terms of our own limited intelligence, or to judge things in terms of, we have so much information, or so many ideas we're receiving from the newspapers, television, from other people we meet. The whole idea is given, you should enjoy this material world. Here in Dubai, there's a very strong idea, develop economically. So many ideas. Decoration of the body is very prominent in the modern society. So much huge business, fashion business, cosmetic business, shampoo business, hairstyle business. So this propaganda is there, completely maya, nonsense. So if we are constantly being subjected to this in the form of songs, advertisements, other people we meet who are completely immersed in this ridiculous way of life. So we have to read Srimad Bhagavatam to get the real vision. Otherwise we're in darkness. Kalo nashya drishamesha purana kaudanodita. We're in the darkness of Kali Yuga. We have to get light, especially from this Bhagavat Purana. That will make us strong. Therefore we have to regularly study. On one side you see, there's all this nonsense of the gross material civilization. And on the other side, for Hindus, there's so many bogus ideas that you have inherited from your Hindu cultural upbringing. So many babas and bubas and gurus and gurus and so many wrong ideas. It's all the same. Great guru is coming. How do you know he's got a great guru? He has a 1 meter long beard. Main symptom. He's been growing his beard for a long time. You'll find at Kumbh Mela, all these sadhus with the jata. And they let it down and some it comes right down to the ground and even along the ground. It's very prestigious. He's been growing his hair for He's 300 years old. You can tell, otherwise how can he have such long hair? So what's he been doing for the last 300 years? Growing his hair. You come to Kumbh Mela and show everybody. Oh, sit on, put some thorns and sit on it. And everyone will come. What a thrill, every 12 years. Come out and show everyone. What a great sadhu. Some of them, people, what is saintliness? They have no idea. There was one Baba who was considered very saintly because he never touched the ground. He lived in a big cottage on stilts. So he's taken a vow never to touch the ground. What is the value of such a vow? How does it benefit him or anybody else? But people say, oh, they come, oh, very great saint. And he stands up and blesses him. What's the blessing that you can in? You can also build a house on stilts and be like him. What is the... I mean Hinduism. What is... You know, just like the Santoshima. You know the Santoshima? You heard of this? You know how this Santoshima... Is Santoshima ever... What is this Santoshima? People worship. Give me a refrigerator. Give my husband a promotion. Where is this Santoshima? Which shastra is this in? Does anyone know? There was a film which was made in Bollywood which invented Santoshima. And now it's part of Hinduism. Jai Vasai Kaho Ham Hindu Hai. You know that? There was a film which invented this Santoshima. So there are so many misconceptions. So read Prabhupada's book. And don't skip the parts you don't like. All those nasty sections which talk about material attachment, becoming detached from this material world, and how material life is simply a pit into which people pass through. Don't.
Okay. Just go like that.
Don't skip over. Read it all. Prabhupada's books are very strong. You may find it difficult to digest. All these words like rascal, fool, nonsense. You have to hear that. If you don't hear that, then you'll simply remain sentimental. Then you can't. Why Prabhupada is being so strong? So that we can discriminate between what is real and what is not real. That is stated in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Reality distinguished from illusion for the benefit of all. But if we take it, it's all the same. Simply sentimental. No. In the beginning also, we see when Shukadeva Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj, he was already renounced. He already left family life. But still Shukadeva Goswami spoke to him so strongly just to fix him in. So it's a very grave subject matter. Anything which is not Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness, anything which is not Krishna consciousness is simply a misuse of the human form of life. And then again, what is Krishna consciousness? Again, there's confusion. Because people in India, they're fortunate. Krishna consciousness is popular. So, popular means, why not sing some bhajans? That'll be popular and it's one way of making a living. Why not be a guru? And, you know, religion's popular in India, so why not be a guru? And, you know, it's a good way of making a living, and it's good, you know, become popular, famous. There's so many cheaters. There's so many people misrepresenting Krishna consciousness. Therefore we have to receive Bhagavad Gita as it is. And how do we read Bhagavad Gita as it is in Srimad Bhagavatam? Sarvam etad dritam manye yannam varisikesha. Simply whatever, take it. If we can just accept, if we stop our bad habit of protesting and thinking that I know better, if we simply accept Srila Prabhupada for what he is, that means tatvavit, tatvadarshi. He knows Krishna. And he knows how to give us Krishna. So if we simply accept this is how Prabhupada has given us Krishna, then we can understand. As Prabhupada used to say, understanding means standing under. If you think just like the scholars, they read Prabhupada's books. Well, I think he's translated this wrongly. Modern scholarship shows that this usage of the word is not correct. So they want to put themselves on the same level as Prabhupada, or higher by judging him, and they can't understand. Then they'll always remain. Yes, here Swami Prabhupada talks about the foolish rascal mundane scholars. Yes, that refers to you, you rascal. And they're reading. Yes, typical of the emotional Gauriya Vaishnavas, dogmatism. So they can't understand. You see, they'll read all these books and give commentaries. And they'll say, Swami Bhaktivedanta has done a great service in spreading Bhagavad Gita all over the world. However, it appears that some of his translations are not exactly correct. So they can't understand. Even they'll talk big learned discourses and get a PhD. They'll hang themselves with their PhD. They won't get love of Krishna. So we have to study Prabhupada's books regularly. And accept them as they are. And if you accept them as they are, then you'll get Krishna. Because every word of Prabhupada's books is pushing us to love Krishna. And if you don't read Prabhupada's books, and if you don't accept what is in them, then we're cheating ourselves, that's all. If we take Krishna consciousness as just some kind of sentimentalism, well, there are so many satsangs, but it's nice. It's good. Good moral standards. If we take it just as that, then can't understand Krishna. We have to surrender to Krishna. It's very difficult. It's painful to us. Because we're so attached to not surrendering to Krishna. Prabhupada is pushing us, pulling us, inducing us to surrender to Krishna. Therefore we have to read Prabhupada's books regularly. All the Vedic knowledge is simply meant to understand Krishna. The essence of all Vedic knowledge is in Prabhupada's books. If we read Prabhupada's books and enter into the spirit of their teaching and follow what he teaches, then we will get Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? I just gave a whole lecture on why you should read Prabhupada's books, and the first question is it alright if we don't read Prabhupada's books? The answer is no. You have to read Prabhupada's books. Listen to tapes also. You have to read the books. Yes, Shankaracharya is Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava.
Yes, Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava.
So Vaishnava knows that Krishna is the Supreme.
So Vaishnava knows that Krishna is the Supreme, yes.
Then why the philosophy of Shankaracharya is?
So why did Shankaracharya teach a different philosophy? Because he was ordered to by Lord Narayana. Lord Narayana told him that in Kali Yuga so many people are being born and they want to be rascals. So you teach them this philosophy. They can take shelter of that because they want to go to hell. This is a good philosophy for them. So Lord Shiva, he's the greatest Vaishnava, but he has a certain function, which is the destructive function. This Mayavada is destructive philosophy. So he does that on the order of the Supreme Lord. But he also teaches what he knows to be correct. Bhajagovindam, 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 Bhuhamati, Samprapte, Sanhyate, Kale, Nahinahini, Akshati, Dukrim, Kale. At the end he told this. Actually it is all, whatever I taught was rubbish, you should chant Hare Krishna. But his followers don't want to. Now, another thing is that actually, this Mayavad, it provides the platform, for the greatest glorification of Krishna. Because by providing the wrong philosophy or the antithesis of the absolute truth, then the Vaishnava Acharyas have been given the platform to very strongly establish that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because why is this Mayavada attractive? Because in this material world, we're all attracted to the idea that I am one with God. By preaching this, he has actually brought out the wrong idea, which is within all of our hearts. He's brought it out and systematically presented it, and provided a basis for the Vaishnava Acharyas to systematically destroy it. So in that sense, by preaching the wrong thing, he's given the platform by which the right thing can be even more strongly presented.
But when you come for places like this, where there are a lot of grihasthas and other people, why is it that
there's a lot of grihasthas everywhere? The world's full of them. Not only in Dubai.
Why is it that you don't soften your messages and preach something?
Well, how do you know? How do you know that it's not softened?
We find it really tough as of now, but it's
you didn't get an answer to this. I don't know, I didn't examine my own psychology. Maybe you should call a psychologist to do that. I'm not very good at this psychology.
But what are your messages here? Like, understanding and trying to follow it.
Is yeah. By discussing Krishna, we should become happy. Where's that? Where's that? Pundarik? Where is he? He knows that verse. Tavakatam ritam. He can say also. A little boy can say. Anyway, the purport is that by hearing about Krishna, tapta jivanam, we're all burning in this fire of material life. So relief comes in the form of Vedic knowledge. Actually, Prabhupada, this was 1977, I think, must have been September or October in Haridwar, he was preaching. And someone complained that, why are you speaking so strongly? Why are you not compassionate? Prabhupada said, your compassion is like blowing on a boil. You have a boil. Does it provide any relief? He said, you have to cut it. Then only you can get relief. Cutting is painful, but the boil is more painful. What is your question? If you wonder why I speak, actually, I regularly get complaints. Why am I speaking so strongly? I've been having for so many years. So in that book, My Memories of Prabhupada, I gave an essay explaining why I speak strongly with 132 quotes, mostly from Prabhupada, also from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So if you want to know, you can read that. Please, what's the question? Yeah, the disciple sees the Guru as God, and the Guru sees himself, I'm just trying to be the servant of God. So this is actually from a logical, worldly, mundane, objective point of view, you can't understand it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that a Vaishnava should be humble. But Krishna in the Bhagavatam teaches, Acharyam mang vijani yam navaman yeta karhi chit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva maya guru. The Acharya should be treated as good as God and not disrespected in any way. He should be thought of as, should never be thought of as an ordinary person because he's the representative of all the demigods. It means whatever demigods know or could teach, Guru teaches everything. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained this once. I was just speaking about this the other day in Bahrain, the same thing. That at his first Vyasa Puja, Saraswati Thakur thought that he said that a person coming to this ceremony, they may think, who is this big animal sitting on the seat, big seat above everybody else, taking a superior position? Not only is he listening to others' praises, but he appears to be taking pleasure in doing so. Is this not against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching to be more tolerant than the tree, more humble than a blade of grass? So Saraswati Thakur explained that my guru ordered me, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered, my guru ordered, Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesha maragye guru hoya tara idesh, Ravi vahu, whoever you meet, preach to them about Krishna. This will become a guru and deliver the land. So as a guru, I have to teach the disciple. Teach Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the course of teaching Bhagavatam, when I come to this verse, it says one should treat the Guru as good as God. Should I not teach this to the disciple? Should I instead teach the disciple that you should get a stick and beat the Guru? I have to teach. to teach what is there. That is the order. Humility means, first humility means you have to follow the order of your guru. So, in that speech he said that if a Vaishnava becomes a guru, then he ceases to be a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava thinks himself as the servant of everybody else. But then if he doesn't become a guru, then the disciplic succession will not go on and the people of the world will not be benefited, which is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire and mission. So, Vaishnava, he takes that position on the order of his guru to benefit others. But himself, he doesn't think, I'm very great. If someone thinks I'm very great and I'm a guru, then he ceases to be, in the same speech Bhaktisthana Sasram Thakur said, he said then the uka, in the first u comes out and then he becomes guru. Guru means, in Bengali, a cow, means he's no more, becomes unintelligent. So, the Vaishnav, who's taking the position of guru, he doesn't think I'm a guru. He simply thinks I'm, as Prabhupada said, it's not very difficult to be a guru. You simply repeat what your guru has said. That's all. So he doesn't think of himself as very great. He thinks I'm actually very fallen, but my guru has ordered me to do like this, so I have to do it. But whatever praise is there, actually it's not really suitable for me, but he offers it to his guru. If he himself tries to absorb, yes, I'm very great, then he becomes fallen. If he becomes proud, then he becomes fallen down. So it's an enigmatic position. He has to teach. Guru means he has to teach for the benefit of others. Do like this, don't do like that. Teaching means you have to take a superior position. But internally he feels that, just like Sasra Thakur, he used to say that my disciples, he used to address them as my friends who are saving me. You are saving me. So that's the internal mode of a Vaishnava. He thinks himself the most fallen. But if the disciple says, oh, my guru is the most fallen, then he himself becomes the most fallen. These are subtle understandings. That a Vaishnava assumes an apparently superior position on the order of his guru to help others. Once in Sweden, at the Prabhupada was speaking at one university, and he was explaining the four orders of society, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. And he's explaining how the Brahmanas, they're teachers, and they guide others. So at the end of the lecture, there were questions, and one professor, I think it was, said, so presumably you consider yourself to be the first-class man. Prabhupada immediately said, I'm not first-class, I'm the lowest class, because I'm the servant of everybody. So Prabhupada immediately said, you can hear on the tape, he didn't stop to think about it. So that means, that what is internal mood is that became manifested.
How can we be non-materialistic in the world? Same can be as not put our others as a children.
How can we not be materialistic? We have to understand what materialistic means. Materialistic means to have the desire to enjoy this material world and exploit the resources of this material world instead of offering everything to Krishna. So you can live in this material world offering everything to Krishna. Then you have to know how to offer it to Krishna. Just like we see many people in India, they say, I'm a karma yogi. I'm working but I'm not attached to the results. But actually they're fully attached. They only say I'm not attached. So we have to know how to offer everything to Krishna, how to change our consciousness. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Manasa deho geho jo kichu mor apilum tua pade nanda kisho. Everything I have, my mind, my home, my family, I'm offering to Krishna. So how to do that? Actually that requires guidance from an acharya, how everything should be offered to Krishna. We give up. Of course, we may not be able to do it immediately, but it means a change of consciousness. Krishna consciousness doesn't just mean accepting some formulas, no meat eating, no gan, but it actually means a whole change of consciousness. Instead of thinking, I'm here to enjoy myself, thinking that I'm here to serve Krishna. So that can be done in any station of life. It may be that a householder may be non-attached and not materialistic, even though he may live in opulence because he offers everything to Krishna. Whereas it may be a sannyasi who's living with just a danda and kamandalu. He may be very materialistic because he's thinking all the time how to get some facility, when will I eat next, how will I get good food. So he's all the time thinking about his stomach, material things. Whereas a householder may be living in great opulence and simply thinking how to serve Krishna. So it's a change of consciousness. Now generally it's understood that the householder ashram there's more attachment there. That attachment has to be turned to attachment to Krishna. It doesn't mean that one gives up one's responsibilities to his family members, but actually taking to Krishna consciousness means that we for the first time we really understand what the extent of our responsibilities are. Because a materialistic householder thinks that my responsibility is simply to feed my children, clothe them, and give them education. But Krishna conscious devotee knows that I have to teach my children about Krishna on top of all these things. Yeah. Is there any other question? So, chant Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. No wild dancing. Okay, we can do gracious dancing. Sweet. Gai Gora Madhu Shari. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is singing in a very sweet voice. So we'll do that. Hare Krishna.